Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and behold, there came to him a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It is written, and the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. It is written, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. It is written, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. It is written, and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two, possessed with demons, coming forth out of the tombs, exceeding fierce.
For God is just a prayer away.
Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man of God, approved unto you by many works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, but still will I enter in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Matthew chapter 8, entitled Preaching as It Was Done in the Days of the Apostles. Many times on this broadcast we have said, this is the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The Apostle Peter tells us how the apostles preached the gospel in Acts, the second chapter, as he says it in these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. The first words of Peter in the account of the beginning of the gospel on the day of Pentecost was Jesus. That's always the best way to begin any gospel message. Jesus. Then before he told of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and their response to the gospel, the first thing he told about was the mighty works and wonders and signs that Jesus did. And that was the way the gospel was preached in the days of the apostles. I can't improve on that method. So here are some of the mighty works and wonders and signs that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 8. And it may be that Peter himself included some of these incidents as he preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, as he told them of mighty works, wonders, and signs. The first of his mighty works was the healing of a leper. The leper came to Jesus and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched him, saying, Thy will, be thou made clean. And straightway his leprosy was cleansed. Leprosy was a disease that reminds us of sin for several reasons. For one thing, it was a great separator. Sin separates people today. A person with leprosy could not get any closer than 6 feet away from another person and had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" According to Leviticus 13, he had to stay away without the camp. And in the time of Jesus on earth, a leper was not allowed within the walls of a city. They wore black and were known as the living dead. In a similar manner, sin will separate the unforgiven from the saved on the judgment day. It is significant that Jesus said in the last chapter of Revelation, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." However, the amazing thing in this story is the fact that Jesus did the unthinkable. He stretched forth his hand and touched him. Luke was a doctor and took a pathological look at it in the Gospel according to Luke and said he was full of leprosy. It appears from this that no person is such a great sinner in the leprosy of the soul that Jesus will not receive him. Remember also that Jesus told him to tell no man, and he went out and told everybody what Jesus had done to him. He just could not keep it to himself. Jesus has told us to tell everybody what he did for us. What you hear in the ear, proclaim upon the housetops. What you hear in the darkness, speak ye in the light. The leper told everybody, and many Christians today tell nobody. Jesus would heal other lepers, but it appears this is the first mention of a leper being healed in the gospel record. We have no indication that there were any before him. This leper had no example before him to encourage him. When it comes to salvation from the leprosy of the soul, we have example after example of conversion to Christ in the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, those who heard the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus asked what they must do. Peter told them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Another time, the treasurer of Ethiopia listened to Philip preach the story of the cross and said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, he went on his way rejoicing. Ladies and gentlemen, I mention these two examples without comment as examples of conversion to Christ as they listened to the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. Next in line are the works, wonders, and signs in Matthew chapter 8, is the centurion's servant. When he entered into Capernaum, there came to him a ruler and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, my servant lieth in the house, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." The centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant shall be healed." Luke helps us out at this point also when he says, "The elders of the Jews said, he is worthy. This man built for us a synagogue." The centurion was right, however. He was not worthy, and neither is anyone else. No one is worthy. One preacher of my previous generation had preached faithfully for 50 years. As he faced his last days on earth, he related how he had preached 5,000 sermons and mentioned the hours he had prayed, the money he had given, and then said, "None of these have anything to do with my salvation. The only thing that matters is the blood of Jesus Christ. The centurion said, I also am a man under authority. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to this one, do this, and he doeth it. Lord, just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. The centurion actually believed that Jesus could heal from a distance. He could still answer prayers today, also from a distance. Not only the distance from that faraway place, seated at the right hand of the Father, but from the distance of time. It has been 20 centuries since Jesus walked on earth among men, but he can still hear and answer our prayers today. Jesus marveled and said, I have not found such great faith. No, not in Israel. What did it take to make Jesus marvel? Ladies and gentlemen, he could talk to Moses and Elijah as they appeared in glory and not marvel. One time he heard God speak to him from heaven and say, I have glorified thy name and will glorify it again, and Jesus did not marvel. He could walk on water, still the tempest, feed thousands with almost nothing, and not marvel. The thing that made Jesus marvel was the fact that he came into his own, and they that were his own received him not. And here was a Gentile that believed Jesus had all authority in heaven and on earth, even before Jesus said so in the Great Commission. That ought to be a warning to our lack of faith in the church today. Jesus said that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. This matter of serving the Lord has eternal consequences. Our faith, or lack of faith, will have something to do as to where we spend eternity, either in the eternal kingdom of God or in the utter darkness, where there is the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. And this is an example of the preaching that was done in the days of the apostles. And now the third event regarding works and wonders and signs in Matthew 8 is the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus went into Peter's house and found his mother-in-law lying sick of a fever. Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. The touch of the hand of Jesus is noticed in several places in the ministry of the Lord. He touched the casket of a young man at the gates of Nain and raised him from the dead. He touched the leper, and the leprosy was gone. The same event is mentioned 3 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He touched the ear of Malchus that Peter cut off and healed him. He touched the eyes of 2 blind men and opened their eyes in Matthew 9. And later on, just before the triumphal entry, he touched the eyes of 2 other blind men, and one of them was Bartimaeus. Mark says that at Bethsaida, some friends brought a blind man to Jesus for healing, and they said, touch him, Lord. In this case, it took a second touch, and he could see plain. However, there is something in touching the hand of the mother-in-law of Peter, something that had a dimension to it that the others did not mention. Matthew says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. When Jesus healed a person, it took something out of him. One woman touched him and was healed, and he perceived virtue had gone out of him. While he bore their diseases, we are reminded that it also cost him something to bear our sins on the cross. Peter tells us in the 2nd chapter of his first epistle, who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died unto sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus bore the diseases of those he healed when he was on earth, I cannot imagine what a load it was to bear my sins on the cross. That is what made the cross so heavy that he fell beneath the load even on the way to the crucifixion. Because he bore my sins on the cross, I can say in the words of the gospel song, in the last sad hour when I stand alone, and the powers of death combine, while the dark waves roll, he will guide my soul by the touch of his hand on mine. And that is an example of the preaching of the gospel as it was done in the days of the apostles. Now the fourth example of works, wonders, and signs is the stilling of the tempest. Jesus entered into the boat, and the disciples went with him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and the boat was covered by the waves. Even experienced fishermen despaired of survival. Jesus was asleep, and they awakened him, saying, "Save, Lord, we perish." Jesus said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Great storms could come suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. And ladies and gentlemen, great storms can come suddenly in life today. All seems well, and without a warning, a great temptation swoops down upon us, and we need to awaken the sleeping Christ. "Save, Lord, we perish." All seems to be well, and suddenly a disease reminds us of our mortality. The church bulletins are filled with names of the sick, and we are urged to pray for survival. Now, why should we pray for the sick? Do we not trust modern-day medical science? Miracles seem to be performed today as a matter of routine. We ask for prayer because we are not really all that sure that the doctor can handle this one. We realize that there are some situations in life beyond our reach and beyond the reach of the doctor. And we need to awaken the sleeping Christ. "Save, Lord, we perish." Today, the church, the old ship of Zion, faces other problems as well. We are faced with the problems of the hurricanes of heresy, the icebergs of indifference, the winds of worldliness, the cyclones of conformity. And in addition to that, the crew is always in a constant state of mutiny against the captain of our salvation. But in spite of it all, we need to remember the words of the gospel song. "The winds and the waves will obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still." And ladies and gentlemen, that is another example of the kind of preaching that was done in the days of the apostles. And now the fifth example, and the last one, of works, wonders, and signs is the casting out of demons. When Jesus and the boatload of apostles landed on the other side, they were in the country of the Gadarenes, and there met him two possessed with demons coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so no man dared pass that way. Mark only mentions one, perhaps because he was the most violent. He said his name was Legion because he had so many demons in him. Legion had been bound with chains, and he had rent the chains asunder. No man had strength to tame him or bind him. This is an example of the world today that does not want to be bound with the Word of God. The second psalm reminds us of this when it says, "The unrighteous will say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." All restraining influence of the Word of God must be removed. How does God react to all this? The Word of God says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision." Think of that one. When people ridicule his word and turn away from his Bible and cast his bonds and bands from them and don't want to be tied down by his word, God laughs at them. The restraining influence of the marriage vows has been broken and cast away. It is respectable for two people to live together without marriage today, and the family as it was at one time is in shambles. Two men living together used to be a disgrace, but now the verse that refers to it as a vile passion has been rent from the Word of God and cast away. The cords of the plan of salvation have been rent asunder. Today, just bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Repentance is never stressed because, well, it makes people feel bad. And the baptism for the remission of sins is only for the cults. It is no longer God's plan of salvation, but man's plan of salvation. Man's plan of salvation plainly says, God, if there is a God, is too good to damn my soul, if I have a soul, and send me to hell, if there is a hell, for surely someday everybody will go to heaven, if there is a heaven. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But remember, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And I must also give you this lovely thought expressed by Jesus when he said, the word which I spake unto them, the same shall judge them at the last day. They can't get rid of the Word of God. It will show up on the judgment day. The delivering of Legion has a strange effect on the town people. When they learn what happened to Legion, the demons were cast out of Legion, they went into the hogs, and the hogs went berserk and ran and fell over the mountaintop and drowned in the waters, all 2,000 of them. The town people should have been pleased that Jesus had delivered them from such a nuisance as Legion. He was a new man. The only thing is, Jesus was too expensive. 2,000 hogs would bring in a lot of money. But now, because of Jesus, they were floating belly up in the water. It looked like Jesus had ruined the local economy. They besought him to depart from their borders. I have often said it, and will say it again. They thought more of ham than heaven. They thought more of bacon than baptism. They thought more of sausage than salvation. They thought more of chitlins than Christ. They thought more of lard than the Lord. They thought more of hog houses than church houses. They thought more of pork chops than prayer. What a sense of values. There's not much difference in them than many today. On the Lord's Day, millions think more of a pig skin flying through the air than they think of the Lamb of God dying on the cross. So they asked him to depart from their borders. Jesus straightway got in the boat and left. He will not stay where he is not wanted. I have forgotten who it was, but a preacher told me one time that he was talking to a man about the Lord and salvation. He asked him why he had never become a Christian with all the opportunities he had. The man told him, "Years ago I told the Lord, if he would leave me alone, I would leave him alone. And Jesus has not bothered me since." Depart from our borders is a haunting word. There's another verse in Scripture where Jesus said the same thing. Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the preaching as it was done in the days of the apostles. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.